All right, welcome everybody back. It's been a few weeks off. We had Thanksgiving, and then Jay, the nerd, has been taking finals in grad school, so he's been too busy to get to us. I finally got him on the podcast again, got him away from the library for like 2 seconds. Good to have you back, Jay.
Yep, that's. I think this will be all I can do, so I think I'm about to head back to the library right now.
All right.
You're good to do the rest of the episode by yourself.
All right, cool. Well, that was his infinite wisdom that he bestowed upon us. So we're going to get into it. We're going to talk about a few bowl games. We're going to talk about coaching, maybe touch on basketball, and talk about how the season's over and how it was the worst season of all time. Let's get into it.
Hello, come right in.
All right, so I wanted to start by talking about Navy versus Army. I know we don't have much to say about it, but it is technically the only game being played this weekend. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, like you said, I really don't know much about it. It's a fun game to sit down and watch, especially because it's the only game on during this weekend every year. And then obviously the show that goes into it, you know, with the flyover and just everything that is involved with the game, it's fun to watch, but... Other than that, really all I know about it is I think this is the first year Army's favored in like 15 years. I know that they won last year, but they're pretty heavily favored this year, right?
Yeah, they are. And I think they're the better team. I think, like you said, you kind of just have to watch this game. I know no one really keeps up with Army or Navy throughout the entire season. No one really cares. It's kind of like going to a NASCAR race. It's more about like the pageantry and the show and actually just like being part of it rather than keeping up with the drivers. Like, I go to Talladega every year. Do I keep up with every single race driver? No, I don't. But I go because you're just, like, supposed to do it and be part of it. So that's Army-Navy.
If you ain't first, you're last. You know what I'm talking about? That phrase, trademark, not to be used as a tradition to Ricky Bobby.
They're the NASCAR of college football.
Yeah, well, I just looked it up, and actually Navy's 3.5-point favorite. So even
how are they favored?
Even the year that Army gets 8 wins and then Navy has a down year, they're still underdogs.
That doesn't make any sense to me. My take on this was going to be Army's got this. I don't see a scenario where Navy beats Army. I guess I don't know enough about either team. I know Navy because they're in my conference, and I know they're not good, and I know Army's schedule and how they've been doing. So yeah. I don't understand that. I think Army's definitely the better team this year. Based on my lack of knowledge.
With just looking strictly at records, that's really it.
Yep. By me Googling their records, Army's the better team, and you should listen to me over Vegas.
Yeah, so Navy's actually scheduled already to play in the Military Bowl against Virginia.
Right.
And then
which could be a pretty good game.
Yeah, and then Army's slotted. This is a pretty cool game against San Diego State in the Armed Forces Bowl.
Yeah, that will be cool. I will say this season's bowls look very interesting. I'm intrigued. But we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
We probably won't predict any games, but...
No, I'm thinking we'll save that. We'll
at least point some out that look intriguing.
Yeah, we'll save that for next week, just because that's like a whole episode by itself, and we have so much coaching talk to go over that I just don't feel like talking for like 2 hours on this.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty much our Navy versus Army talk, right? We don't really have
that's the preview.
Any other insight?
I'm going Navy. I'm going with Vegas here. I just feel like they're the stronger team.
Yeah, that's definitely a good call because every time I say put money on a game against what Vegas says, I'm always wrong. So just to keep that tradition alive, I'm going to go Army.
Yeah, and in this case, you didn't even know what the spread was.
Nope.
Which even strengthens my opinion even more.
Yeah, that's actually a good point.
It's just like you're becoming like anti-Vegas even when you're not trying to be.
Well, I'm a very big Lake Charles and like Shreveport fan, so I've always been anti-Vegas deep down in my soul.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Army, there you go. I wanted to talk a little bit about basketball because technically it's going on.
Technically. I don't think the season actually starts until like late February when tournament starts off.
Completely over.
Yeah, that too. And then when people start talking about the tournament, I think that's about really when it starts.
Yeah.
When each team has completed about 20 games, and you got a good idea of who's good and who's not.
Right, because it's kind of like early season baseball, where you're like, none of this even matters.
In this case, though, we're waiting for like the very, very end of the season.
That's true. Yeah, because even when it does matter, I still don't care. I just care about March. So that's a really good thing for both of us to say, since we, you know, run a college sports podcast. I want to talk about my conference, the AAC, of course, and about how it's becoming a basketball conference. They added Wichita State over the offseason, which was just a huge power move for the conference basketball-wise, because we have Navy, but they don't play in our conference for basketball. So this is kind of like them representing basketball, which is pretty sweet. Over the weekend, they're ranked number 8. I mean, I was watching over the weekend. I honestly haven't watched since. But over the weekend, they're ranked number 8, and then they beat number 16, Baylor. SMU, who's notoriously good at basketball over the past, like, 3 years, they beat number 14, USC. Houston, my Cougs, who've been notoriously disappointing, beat Arkansas by, like, 26 points in Arkansas. UConn won, Memphis won, even ECU won. Number 11, Cincinnati, unfortunately lost to Xavier, but that's, like, a rivalry game. That's, like, an inner-city rivalry game. And Xavier was ranked number 20, so it's not terrible. Anyway, my take is new Big East question mark.
I don't know if we should go that far. I know right now they've only got 5 projected tournament teams. So I
that's
think
pretty good though.
It is, but Big East was, you know, consistently putting like 6, 7, 8 teams in.
I would go as far to say that we are better than the Big East though, because unlike the Big East, we actually compete in football and baseball.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
So the ACC, the AAC, which I know I'm a fan, so this is like very biased, but is just kind of separating itself from the rest of the G5, but not to the P5 level yet, to where it's just like this like no man's land of competitive in every sport.
Yeah, yeah, good. That's a pretty good analysis of it.
Yeah, it's. I'm pretty excited for it, and if I'm cheering for a team that's not a P5, at least I can cheer for a team that's in the American, because no matter what sport's on, our conference is competitive, and it's just fun to watch. I am a big fan of, if you're going to add a team to a conference, even if they're better than you, it's going to end up being good in the long run, so I'm really happy that they added Wichita State. It kind of sucks because that's just like one more good team that's going to beat us every year in basketball, but I think it'll end up like strengthening our program.
Yeah, you have to take some of those short-term losses and just hope that they turn into long-term pluses, because it's going to attract better athletes to that school, and then just residually it's going to happen. It's going to kind of spread throughout the conference.
Right, and a team like Houston, with the history that they have in basketball in the city they're in, it's just, I think it's only a matter of time that they eventually get good again.
Mm-hmm.
Five-slam-jamma, baby. Yeah, so that was talking basketball. That's... Man, this podcast is going to get really boring quickly when football's over. Do you want to talk about a few bowl games?
Yeah, I don't know how thoroughly you've looked through the list.
Oh, very.
Okay, cool.
That's all I've been doing.
I thought it'd be pretty cool to go through the list and just kind of point out some of the lesser, I guess, probably going to be lesser watch games, but games that I see some intrigue in.
Like G5 bowl games.
You would do the same, yeah. But I don't have to limit it just to that. Obviously, the Power 5 matchups are going to draw a little bit more attention.
I do have a list of like the my favorite G5 bowl games, though. So I think that kind of goes into it also.
Well, I feel like those will be pretty obvious.
Right. Like the best G5 bowl games, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I feel like just saying G5 bowl games doesn't automatically mean like disrespect. Like I feel like there's gonna be
always like 2 that people are like, okay, that'll be a fun matchup, but not very watched, is kind of what I'm saying.
All right, well, I'm just gonna start. A game start on the 16th, so that's 10 days from the moment we're recording this. Actually, the first game is the Celebration Bowl. I think they've been doing this for what, 2, 3, 4 years, where it's the SWAC teams. It's Grambling State versus North Carolina A&T.
Yep. Yeah. They've always, and that's actually a pretty sweet matchup.
Yeah, because they're 2 dominant teams in their division.
Right. And I don't know much about that, honestly. But what I do know is those 2 teams are really good. So that should be actually a fun matchup.
I do know Devontae Kincaid from Grambling is a stud. I think he's won Player of the Year the last 2 years. He transferred from Ole Miss when I was there. He transferred because he wasn't getting any play time, and he went to Grambling State, and he's just been tearing it up. So that'll be fun to watch.
It's a good location. It's in Atlanta, which, you know, North Carolina A&T, that's in, what, Winston-Salem or Greensboro, I think?
Something like that.
Greensboro, I think. And then Grambling in Louisiana, and, like, I think that's in Ruston, like, out right up. Or it's in Grambling, Louisiana, right outside Ruston, right next to Louisiana Tech. So Atlanta's a sweet location for both those schools, and they both have really good fan bases. Mm-hmm. I know Houston, like 3 years ago, we played Grambling in Houston, and they had a lot of fans show up, and their band was a lot of fun. And I know North Carolina A&T has a lot of really good fans. So that'll actually be like a very underrated bowl game.
Yeah, I was going to say that was my next thing is the bands are always the big draw for those schools. But on that same day, one game that kind of sticks out to me, I know the headliner is going to be Boise State, Oregon, but Marshall, Colorado State is really intriguing, the New Mexico Bowl.
Yeah.
Because Marshall's defense has looked good this year. I know they've kind of fallen off towards the end of the season, but Colorado State has one of, you know, the most potent offenses in all the G5 schools.
Yeah, so there was there was two of my favorite G5 Bowl matchups on the same day. You just listed one of them. I think that'll be a really sweet game. Neither of them aren't necessarily like outstanding teams this year, but I think they match up really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll make for like a aesthetically pleasing matchup, I think.
Unfortunately, it's in Albuquerque, so no one that's cheering for Marshall will show up because nobody that cheers for Marshall shows up to their own games.
Yeah.
Colorado State does have a pretty good fan base, especially with their new football stadium this year. So they've been showing up pretty well, and Albuquerque, it's not crazy far for them. So it's just, you know, the next state down. So they might get some fans there, which will make it fun.
They're really looking forward to traveling to Albuquerque in middle of December.
Yeah, well, especially if you're from like Colorado, which is like an awesome state to be in December, and you're like, why the fuck would I want to go to Albuquerque? It's a good point. But another one that I think might have a little bit better fans because it's located in between both teams is the New Orleans Bowl in a place called New Orleans. Troy versus North Texas.
Yeah, definitely. I'd love to see North Texas. I don't know as much about... Actually, yeah, Troy, 10 wins, that's right.
They both have 10 wins, right?
Yeah. And Troy's defense has been super stout this year.
Yeah, but, I mean, UNT is looking nasty. I think we're not making predictions yet, actually. So I'm going to save that. I'm going to save my pick for that one for our next episode. But that is a sweet matchup. I'm really excited about that one.
I think... Does North Texas have 9 or 10 wins?
Oh, maybe it's 9. Honestly, I didn't even look it up.
But I mean, that's a high win total for those two teams.
I mean, they played in their conference championship, so I would expect 10. Yeah. So yeah, no, that's
again, Akron just played in their championship with like 8 wins, I think.
Yeah, that was a fluke though. That shouldn't have even happened. Speaking of Akron, the Boca Raton Bowl on December 19th, playing against FAU in Boca Raton. I mean, that's just gonna be ugly.
Yeah. I wasn't even going to mention that game. But yeah, it's kind of funny.
Yeah, that's just going to be ugly. I'm not excited about that. Another G5 matchup that I think is going to be pretty sweet is SMU, Louisiana Tech in Frisco, Texas. Obviously, it's in Frisco, Texas, right outside Dallas, which means no one's going to show up because no SMU fans ever show up to their own games. Hopefully Louisiana Tech fans show up. That's not a far drive from Ruston.
I was going to mention this game, but Louisiana Tech hasn't really excited me all year. And with Chad Morris heading out to Arkansas now, it just, I don't know, it just pulls a lot of the excitement that I had for it.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. I didn't even think about that part. I'm going to talk about the Chad Morris hire, too, because I definitely have an opinion on that one. But I just think it's funny. Watch Frisco Bowl get, like, no fans. And they picked SMU probably thinking that they would actually get some.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, they're not going to have shit, so... the Armed Forces Bowl, we kind of already mentioned this, Army versus SDSU. That'll be fun.
Yeah, that same day, though, the Dollar General Bowl. That might be one of my most anticipated games, App State playing Toledo.
Yeah, because the Sun Belt is the MAC of the South, and it's like the two best schools from each conference. So that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, because App State might have the best G5 defense in the country.
Whoa, and easy. Toledo, easy.
And when I say these things, I'm excluding Central Florida, although Central Florida's defense is not good at all.
No. Say, Toledo, I'm talking about someone else, you asshole.
I know. Outside of Central Florida and probably South Florida, Toledo's probably got the best G5 offense.
Right. So yes, they do.
They should be battling pretty well.
Yeah, and that's actually going to be a really sweet one. And that's what, the 23rd, right? Mobile, Alabama?
Yeah.
So, terrible location. No one's going to show up. Maybe some App State fans. Yeah, that'll be interesting. South Florida, Texas Tech? Maybe. That's
a ton of points.
Right, and that's going to be one where G5 has a pretty good chance of actually winning.
Yeah, I'd probably, without making a pick, I'd probably pick South Florida.
Right. Without making a pick, I'm going to pick South Florida. So, moving on, I have to talk about the Hawaii Bowl, Honolulu. This, I think, unbiased, this is the best G5 matchup.
That's just an absurd take.
How is that an absurd take? What other G5, strictly G5 bowl game is a better matchup?
App State, Toledo.
Okay, yeah, you might be right. But still, this one's pretty good.
Yeah, no, Fresno State kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah, I was actually a little pissed when I saw this, because I was like, oh, fuck, well, Houston just lost a bowl game. Fresno State looks nasty.
Yeah, that's probably one of the worst matchups they could have hoped for.
Right, and knowing our players, they're going to be out in Hawaii partying, not giving a shit about this bowl game. So, yeah, that's not a good matchup for Houston, but if they do play well, if both teams play well, that will be a sweet game. And it's the only game on that day, the day before Christmas. So, you know.
The day before. I think there's a name for that.
No, there's not. No one's going to be there either. Just going to throw that one out. Yeah.
Oh, definitely not. No, there's never anybody that does. It's just the people that are in Hawaii for Christmas.
Right. Texas, Missouri, and Houston in the Texas Bowl. That's going to get ugly quickly.
That was going to be the next one I mentioned. That's going to be a fun game.
We'll see how good Texas's defense is postseason, if they care enough. Because they have a good defense. But Missouri's offense out of nowhere at the end of the season. I mean, UT finally got a bowl game again, and then they get matched up with this sleeping giant. Like, that kind of sucks.
Yeah, Drew Locke has just been just annihilating teams and defenses in the second half of the season. And so this would be an interesting thing to watch for, because Texas has been held by its defense all year. And then, like you said, let's see if they can get up for postseason, because, you know, it's been a while since they've been back.
Yeah, I was talking to my Texas friends, and they were even just kind of like, yeah, we're excited to have a bowl game, but, like, damn it. This sucks. We had to get matched up against this team out of all the teams this year. Like, yeah, they started out rocky. They looked terrible at the beginning, and then Missouri just looks like a completely different team at the end of the season. So that could get ugly for Texas quickly, which would please me immensely.
Yeah, and then maybe the ugliest game. Now I'm just looking at this, Iowa-Boston College. Like, does anybody want to watch that?
Right. Yeah, no. No one's going to watch that. Or like Purdue-Arizona.
In New York. Actually, Purdue-Arizona I think would be fun, because you got Khalil Tate for Arizona, and then you got Jeff Brohm's offense at Purdue. I don't know. It could be interesting.
Yeah, could be. I love that Florida State is matched up against Southern Miss. That's great.
And they're going to lose.
Florida State?
Yeah.
We'll see. I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. It depends. Florida State is not notorious for caring, especially with like a lower bowl. Like, their players, you know, are five-star recruits, and then they have to go to the Independence Bowl in Shreveport, Louisiana. They probably don't give a shit with how the season's gone.
And now that Jimbo Fisher's gone.
Right. Right. So
just the way that the season's gone, I feel like it's just going to be no motivation.
You know, strictly athleticism, they should beat them. But yeah, that one actually could be interesting just based on those things alone.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan State, Washington State, that looks good. Stanford, TCU. The way TCU ended their season in the Big 12 championship game, I've lost a lot of interest in them.
Yeah, both those teams, I just haven't really enjoyed watching either of those teams. Other than the Stanford-USC, the Pac-12 championship was pretty exciting.
Right.
But it's just like, I don't know, it's just not fun to watch those two teams this year.
No. Yeah, I've lost interest, and people are talking about how great the Alamo Bowl is going to be with those two teams. And on paper, yeah, it should be. But just watching them this year, I just don't have much interest in that game.
No.
I mean, I guess what other games are? Michigan State, Washington State, I probably care more about. Virginia Tech, Oklahoma State, that's the same day.
That's the best game of the day, I'd say.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm going to be watching that game for sure.
That'll be Mason Rudolph's last game. That offense, who knows what will happen next year with everybody graduating. So it'll be fun to see against a good, maybe not great, Virginia Tech defense.
I'd say, yeah, good. Good to really good. How about that? I'll go that far. The Arizona Bowl on the 29th. I just want to throw out that New Mexico State isn't a bowl game.
Yeah, what was it, 50, like 60 years or something?
Yeah, and their last bowl game was against Utah State.
I know, that's such crazy.
It's so perfect, and I've been saying all season that I wanted New Mexico State to go to a bowl game. So
and they have them on the final game of the season.
Yeah, it's just perfect. I'm really happy about that one. What do you think about the Hyundai Sun? When did Hyundai become the sponsor of this one? I thought it was just the Sun Bowl.
Who knows? But, I think these things change every year.
Yeah, what do you think about that matchup?
Well, I think NC State's going to kill them. I don't know if any fans are going to travel, but...
No, they won't.
With the coaching transition taking place right now with Herm Edwards stepping in at Arizona.
Right.
And NC State had its own coaching drama, but...
And they kept their coach, which is huge. The players have to be so stoked for that.
Yeah, and they've looked good towards the end of the season. Not great, but they've looked like a very above average team, and Arizona State has not.
I think any time like a coach decides to decline what looks like a really great offer to stay at his program, the players have to rally around that.
Yeah, and there's some debate whether that was actually his intention or if his intention was to get more money on his contract extension, because I know a lot of coaches have been doing that, using the Tennessee vacancy as kind of leverage to get their ADs to pour more money into their extension. Well, but I mean, I can't blame him. I'm just
right,
saying.
Exactly. I would do it too, because at the end of the day, it's a job and you want as much money as possible. But it seems like he honestly wanted to stay at NC State and keep building that program. So
yeah. I know the fan base is a little mixed on it, because when they saw that he was kind of flirting his name in the Tennessee job hunt, a lot of the fans were like, well, like, that's fine. Like, we don't really care that much.
Damn, really?
Yeah.
He's
like,
been a good coach.
Yeah, he's been a good coach. He's kind of like consistently got, you know, 7 win seasons. But if this is a program wanting to take the next step, he's probably not the right guy. Simply because this is the most talent that NC State's probably had, at least in a decade.
Yeah, but the ACC was also really good this year.
And everybody's, well, not really. If you look in the NC State's own division, Louisville had a down year. Florida State had an extreme down year. And then outside of that, obviously Clemson is tough. But they didn't play Miami. So an 8-4 season is actually pretty disappointing compared to what they probably should have done.
Okay. Yeah, you might be right about that, actually.
Regardless, it should probably end up being a 9-win season, because I doubt Arizona State's going to win.
The Belk Bowl in Charlotte, that could be fun. Wake Forest is actually a good team this year. Close enough for, what is that, like an hour and a half drive? So Wake Forest fans should actually show up. And the Aggies will show up anywhere. So
yeah.
That'll be a pretty good game.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. One of those SEC shorts, like the little video about SEC teams trying to bid for different bowls, and it was shown Kentucky trying to like talk their way into the Belk Bowl, and they're like, look, we beat both teams in Tennessee, we pretty much dominated that state. And then Texas A&M just comes up, they're like, two words, Jimbo Fisher. And then the Belk Bowl just like, welcome Charlotte. So it's funny, because they just kind of like, Kentucky probably deserved it over Texas A&M just based on performance, but you know, Belk Bowl is pretty, it's pretty dominant in who they want to come and who they can get filled out the stadium.
Right. And it's always a good bowl game, so it should be fun. Memphis versus Iowa State and Liberty Bowl. That's what a good way to get a G5 program to completely show up by putting it in their own city.
Yeah, that is going to be a really fun game. But are you just going to completely skip over USC, Ohio State?
Yeah, the Cotton Bowl, USC, Ohio State, thoughts?
I just think that they're playing really good right now. USC is playing really hot, so I don't know. I feel like it's cool to see these two powerhouses play in Dallas. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's also kind of like a slap in the face because both of them thought that they deserved a spot in the playoffs, and Alabama got it, and so now they have to play each other.
Yeah, yeah, yep. But yeah, going on to the Liberty Bowl, should be cool.
Yeah. No, both have really good teams this year, so that'll be pretty good. Louisville, Mississippi State, don't really care, I'm not going to lie.
No, Louisville's going to kill him.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Nick Fitzgerald's hurt. Dan Mullen just got hired at Florida. Like, I don't see a way that they could beat Louisville.
Yeah, that's a pretty good point, actually. Notre Dame, LSU, don't really care. I mean, is that fucked up for me to say that I don't care about Notre Dame, LSU? Because I should, but I just don't.
Not at all.
Yeah, it's just one of those seasons. I don't know. Michigan and South Carolina, if you want to watch 2 4-loss teams play January 1st, have fun with that. Yeah, and then
South Carolina's actually favored by almost 10 points in that game.
Oh, man. Yeah, everybody's been talking about it, and I know we talked about it a few weeks ago, but do you think Harbaugh is getting close to the hot seat? Is it warming up?
No. Well, I mean, I'm sure it's, like, lukewarm, maybe room temperature, but...
No, it's got to be warm, dude.
What do you expect him to do with John O'Korn for the last 3 games?
Yeah, that's a good point. And I even mentioned...
He just needs a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned on the Twitter account, like, a week ago. It's like, for everybody talking shit about John O'Korn, like, he had to leave Houston because he lost his starter position to a wide receiver.
Yeah, and then somehow he ended up at Michigan,
right,
became the third string, and then worked his way back
right
into the...
I never thought I'd hear the name John O'Korn again after that year. He lost to UTSA at home. That was UTSA's like second football season ever.
I was about to say, that was before Frank Wilson used UTSA.
That was their second season ever, and we lost at home, the season opener, in our brand new stadium. That was the first game in our new stadium.
Mm-hmm.
That's my like idea of John O'Korn. So the fact that he's just tearing apart Michigan's program is just kind of funny to me.
No, the last few games before the playoffs, it's Washington, Penn State. That'll be cool because I think Penn State probably was one or two plays away from probably getting in the playoffs, honestly.
I've been saying it all year that I thought Penn State was in the top 4 best teams in the country.
Yeah, it's just kind of unfortunate because I think the 2 losses that they had were by a combine of 4 points.
Yep.
I don't know. I was about to say off the top of my head, I think that just sounds right. But that's crazy that, you know, 2 losses against really, really good teams by a combined 4 points, and that's just the difference. That's all it takes.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, it's just disappointing because they really not only could have been in the playoffs, but I would have liked to see them in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Just 2 SEC teams, to me, it's just kind of like, ugh.
Miami, Wisconsin doesn't really do anything for me.
What about UCF Auburn?
Yeah, that'll be fun. It'll be interesting to see how Auburn treats the game, whether they take it seriously or whether they just kind of... I guess it's hard to tell if they're taking it seriously, because if they go out and just get spanked, then who knows if UCF was just a better team.
I remember 4 years ago when they played in the Fiesta Bowl against Baylor.
Mm-hmm.
That's my last memory of a New Year's Bowl with UCF, and they upset Baylor. So I'm hoping for something similar, but man, that sucks that they got matched up against Auburn.
Yeah, because Auburn's still a very, very good team.
If they would have got matched up against Washington or Miami, maybe even Wisconsin, I think they could have won that game. Auburn, I honestly, as much as I want to see UCF win, I don't have much high hopes for them against Auburn.
No.
Like, Auburn's just such a good team. They were playing to get into the playoffs. You know, they're that good of a team. So
yeah, Auburn's pass defense is probably the best, the most premier pass defense in all of the NCAA. So,
which hurts UCF a lot. So
exactly. Yeah, exactly.
It's, yeah, unfortunate. But what do you think of the playoff situation? I guess, should we even dive into that yet?
Nah, probably not.
The Alabama getting in thing?
No, but I am really looking forward to Georgia-Oklahoma.
Yeah, me too. And I'm going to say it right now, I'm cheering for Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it'd be so cool to see Kirby Smart go in his second season.
Yep. I know we're not making predictions, so I'm not going to predict anything, but Georgia's going to win the whole thing.
That'd be pretty wild.
Bold prediction, I know, but I honestly think they will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's it. Those are the bowl games. I think, I guess still on bowl for one more second, I have a list of the bowl games I think will have the worst attendance. The Bahamas Bowl, Ohio versus UAB, that'll have the worst. The second worst will be the Hawaii Bowl, Fresno State versus Houston, although two good teams, no one's going to be there. The Potato Bowl.
Let's talk Continental.
Oh, shit. Continental? Okay. Potato Bowl. Central Michigan versus Wyoming. The New Mexico Bowl. Marshall versus Colorado State. And the Cure Bowl. Georgia State versus Western Kentucky.
Yeah. Those all sound like pretty good candidates.
I would have put Boca Raton, but that's literally like they have Lane Kiffin and that's like on their campus pretty much. So.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. I'd like to keep up with these in attendance and kind of like see who wins or loses at the end, but I doubt that they all released attendance data, right. And B, even if they did, they'd probably just lie about it.
Exactly. Because the worst attendance that I just listed, there's no way that they're going to be honest about their attendance.
No.
No way. Yeah. We could just show up to every single game and count people.
Yeah, that's the method. Or we could just recruit people to do that for us so we don't have to be at every game.
Yeah. Hey, guys, we'll pay you in Bitcoin. We don't have it yet. We don't have the Bitcoin yet, but we will eventually pay you in Bitcoin.
I've got some Bitcoin.
Do you? Did you mine it?
No, I bought it like a few weeks ago.
Oh, you poser. You didn't mine it?
Actually, I didn't buy it. I got it sent from someone, one of my friends.
That's weird. I'm not even going to ask why you were sent that.
It's gone up a lot, actually. Damn, it's at 14,000 right now.
Damn, really?
I got it in under 10,000.
Oh, nice.
So it's seen some growth.
Sell.
Yeah.
Okay, so I wanted to talk about coaching.
My mind is just so saturated right now with coaching information.
Okay.
That like, like you bring something up and I should be able to talk about it.
Okay, well, UTEP hired a coach.
I know. I saw that.
Did you see that? Did you see this? Yeah, you hear about this?
Dana like Dimel or Dimel or something?
Dimel? Yeah. Yeah, he's coaching at UTEP now. And for the past like decade almost, he was the OC for Kansas State. So, you know,
interesting hire. I think it's a safe hire. That's probably what they're going for.
It's definitely a safe hire. And it's UTEP. Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah, they're like, hey, I think this guy could get us one win. Like, right. Should we just start there?
Hey, this guy might get us one win or at least a half a win. So, yeah, I think they made the right decision. You know what?
I'm 55 too. So, I don't. It's not like the young hire either.
Very Kansas State move.
It's just that's about as safe as it gets. The Kansas State offensive coordinator that's 55 years old.
Yeah, yeah. Well, whoever is willing to take a UTEP job, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I think
he was actually the head coach at Houston back in the early 2000s.
I was just gonna say, I think he coached in Houston.
Yeah. Let's see how he did. He did very poorly.
Yeah. Well, if you don't last long in Houston, they don't waste time to get rid of you because either you leave because you did so well or you get fired because you lost like five games.
He did pretty well at Wyoming though.
Well, it's Wyoming,
so we'll see how he does.
What are your thoughts on the Chad Morris hire at Arkansas? I'm very opinionated.
don't love it, don't hate it. It's hard because I don't know how much better Arkansas could have gotten. I wouldn't be surprised if he does big things, just because if you look at his track record,
it's
pretty
bad.
Much everywhere he's gone. What do you mean it's bad?
It's bad.
How is it bad? Look at every place he's gone, Clemson and then to SMU. It's like just great results. So
how is SMU great results?
He took a winless team and he's brought them to bowls now.
They still they've never had a winning record in the conference. He's been there for 3 years. They've never been ranked higher than sixth best in recruiting in the conference. His overall record is 14-22. It's been 3 years. I get that it's SMU and they were winless before he got there. But you know what? SMU is still in Dallas. They're still in the American Conference. I mean, there's no reason that you can't start actually like winning in the conference if you're at SMU for 3 years.
Yeah, but I mean, if you just look at the improvements from zero wins when he got there to two wins, yeah, but you're going to give him more time. He brought him to five wins and then seven wins this season with the chance to get the eighth win.
Okay, so, what about Lane Kiffin or Scott Frost?
Well, Lane Kiffin's just got so many issues in other areas that that would probably deter them. I doubt that they would want to go that route. Scott Frost.
Well, I'm not even talking necessarily about Frost. Yeah, I'm not even talking necessarily about Arkansas. I'm just saying when you're going to compare a coach to coming into a bad program and turning it around quickly, they were there for less than 3 years and they turned it around almost immediately. I'm not impressed. I think Chad Morris is super bland, and I don't think he's a great head coach. He's not an outstanding recruiter. I don't think that it's a good hire at all. I'm
sure that people are hyping it up. Do not hurt.
Yeah, that's probably okay, that's true. I could see for that. I just think they're gonna get a winning record every year and never do better than that. And if I'm an Arkansas fan, I'm not okay with that. I want a better hire.
Yeah, no, I agree. It doesn't have a lot of splash. It's just kind of...
It's just like, oh, well, I guess we're okay with 6 wins, 7 wins every single year and never getting great recruits.
And it is going to be interesting to see because the offense that he's going to implement is going to be vastly different than what they've been recruiting for the past 6 years.
So...
Because Arkansas has always been that heavy run team.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting to see what he does now with all that the talent that's there.
I honestly think that was one of the worst hires this year. So
interesting.
Yep. What about Willie Taggart?
Yeah, great hire. That's one of the best hires, I think.
You think?
Yeah, I think he's an extremely, extremely dynamic and effective recruiter.
I'll give him
that.
Recruiter. But is he a great coach?
I think so. Yeah, I think what he did at Oregon this year was not representative of his actual ability because
he didn't stay long enough.
Well, he also had a quarterback get injured early in the season. But still, you know, got him to a respectable season. So I feel like with the talent at Florida State, it's just going to be even better.
Yeah, we'll see. I'll give him a chance. Unlike Chad Morris, I'll actually give him a chance to see what he could do at Florida State. But I'm not sold on it. Josh Heupel. Heupel. He was, the OC?
At Missouri.
That could be a good hire.
Pro quarterback back in the day, and then obviously has shown his ability to coach quarterbacks with Drew Locke just exploding. It'll be interesting because it's at UCF, so it's I don't know. I feel like they kind of have everything in place to win there right now.
Right. At UCF, it's a place you can either go to get hired somewhere else because you do really well, or a place to go and die. Because you're still in a tough conference, so you are still always having to play tough competition. But you can recruit well out of there, and he could do really well. Who knows?
Yeah, I think the skill set, the offensive mind of his probably fits well there. I don't know about his personality, just being like this awkward looking guy from South Dakota.
Is he from South Dakota?
Where? Yeah, I don't know. Aberdeen.
What? Is an Aberdeen boy?
Yeah.
Huh.
So I don't know how effective he's going to be on the recruiting trail, especially in Central Florida. So it'll be interesting.
Well, you know what? I'm a fan of his now. I didn't know he was from South Dakota. Mad respect. Yeah. Sioux Falls shout out. What up? What about Rice's coach, Bloomgren?
Mike Bloomgren.
Yeah. I think kind of like UTEP, you can't really go wrong. It's Rice. It's only going to get better. I think it seems like a good hire, right?
Yeah. He's got experience in the NFL, played at Florida State, so I guess he's got the Florida ties, which never hurts.
Well, he's been coaching at Stanford for a while.
I was about to say, and obviously he's been at Stanford, which is always a good place to hire from, it seems like, especially learning under David Shaw. And then he also worked under Rex Ryan when he was with the Jets, so I feel like he's just going to bring like a pro mindset.
I think also it's Rice, any hire is a good hire for Rice. So, no, good for them. Honestly, yeah, I guess it makes me a little nervous that Rice got, a good hire. Maybe he'll, steal some of our recruits. Hopefully not, because we need a new coach, too. So, Herm Edwards, Arizona State, what do you think of this whole CEO thing?
Definitely my favorite hire, strictly because...
What's going on
there? It's such a bad hire that I can't wait to see this just blow up in Arizona State's face.
I don't understand why they got rid of Todd Graham, which
that's kind of understandable. Maybe they just got kind of tired of staying stagnant. I could see that, but Herm Edwards as the replacement,
right? where did this come from? They were like, oh, instead of a coach, let's have a CEO of our team.
And it makes no sense. Did you see the video where he didn't even know what the mascot was?
Yes, he was like, oh, devil, I'm a Catholic. You better keep that devil away from me. Like, this is insane.
So a part of me wants to think that he actually knows the mascot. No. He just didn't make the connection.
No, there's no way. How do you not make the connection? If I'm at Duke and someone says devils, I'm like, yeah, go Duke. Like, and that's Duke. Like, how would you not make that connection?
He is one of the most personal – I mean, I've never met the man, but just from the videos that I've seen released by Arizona State's video departments, like the introduction and everything, they've kind of just been following him around. He seems like the most personable person of all time. Like, he shakes everybody's hands. Obviously, that's nothing new, but you really just have to go watch the video for yourself to see – this guy is going to get a lot of recruits.
I'm really hoping that he actually ends up being great. I think it'd be hilarious. Like, not a good NFL coach, but that'd be hilarious if he could, turn to college at Arizona State and be good. So,
I mean, that'd be awesome because
I'm cheering for it.
Look back on this moment and laugh. But
I'd be like, holy shit, I can't believe the CEO thing worked out.
That'd be so cool.
And then watch like FAU or FIU or whatever, or like does CEO next, or some random school start doing CEO shit. Maybe the best hire, one of the best hires, Scott Frost at Nebraska.
I'd say this probably with Jimbo Fisher. Yeah. Actually, and maybe Dan Mullen.
Yeah, I was going to say Dan Mullen, I think, is the best. But Scott Frost,
Scott Frost, definitely. It seems like you really can't lose here. Like, he's going back to his alma mater. He's young. He's energetic. He's smart. He's proven. You know, it's like if he goes 6-6 at Nebraska next year, like, you're still happy.
Right, because, okay, he's young, he's rebuilding this program. Yeah, he has like a solid 3 years at least to get this program back to where they should be. And he seems like the guy that can actually do it. He seems like a really, really good coach that likes his players. And his players seem to like him. I mean, I haven't heard anything negative about his departure from UCF, have you?
No, I haven't. And that's obviously really good.
That's huge. That's huge. There's always like something where the players are like, man, he didn't even tell me. He was leaving, blah, blah, blah. I haven't heard anything. Players are like, yeah, we really liked him. He's a good coach. Like, that's huge. I think he's going to do great things. And that'd be cool to see him do well in Nebraska. I'm cheering for Scott Frost. I actually really like him.
Yeah, there's no reason for me not to like him. He just seems like a good dude.
So you think the Jimbo Fisher hire was good?
I think just in terms of the dude can coach, the dude can develop quarterbacks, the dude can recruit like hell. It's good in that sense. The other things, the way he left Florida State, I didn't like. There's some questions about his personality and his temperament and, you know, just like getting along with athletic departments. There's definitely some questions. But just in terms of winning, I have no doubt that he's going to help Texas A&M win.
Yeah, they asked, I think it was the AD or some kind of booster. They asked, like, if there was any regrets or anything they didn't like about the contract. Because, you know, the absurd contract that they got him to sign.
Yeah, $75 million guaranteed.
Oh, my God. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But they asked some Aggie if they had any regrets about it. And they said, yeah, we couldn't get him to sign for 15 years.
Jesus.
That's the dumbest Aggie thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. Did you hear about the message board that was on the Aggies?
No.
It was like, I haven't actually read it. I just heard it on another podcast. They were mentioning it. What's the mascot? Revelry?
Yeah.
That's the name?
Yep, Revelry.
It was like, can anybody find the video when Revelry meets Jimbo Fisher? Like, it's really important that they get along because Revelry is the face of our program. And if recruits see that Revelry doesn't like Jimbo on first glance, How's that gonna show for our program?
Are you serious?
It's just the most cultish fan base, and it's hard to tell if that was like joking.
I don't think it's joking. That's the scary thing with A&M. Yeah, I don't think that's a joke.
Like, they actually wanted to see the first encounter from their head coach and their mascot dog.
I like the fact that he ended up going to A&M because when those rumors started to surface that he was leaving to go to A&M, the Florida State fan base was so butthurt that they just went on like a 3-day rant about how Florida State's a better program and everything. And it just got annoying. Like, hearing Florida State fans cocky about their program is always annoying. But especially like at that point, I was very annoyed. And people were like, we have the best fan base in the nation. Like, Aggies actually think they can keep up with us, blah, blah, blah. And I just eventually like commented on some guy's thing. And I was like, look, man, you know, I've been to a game. I played against Florida State. I know y'all have a lot of fans that show up. That's great. Y'all are, you know, go buy a hat fan base. You know, I'll go out and buy a hat and rep Florida State. I was like, if you're not from Texas, you don't understand. A&M is a cult, like, drink the Kool-Aid fan base. You may have a historically great program, but when it comes to diehard fan base, I'm sorry, you have nothing on A&M. They are insane. And that's not even an insult. That's like, no, just, you know, like that kid in high school where, yeah, you might be tough, but this kid in high school, even if he's not very big, he still will just, instead of kick your ass, he'll actually kill you. And people are like, no, just don't mess with him because he's actually insane and we're trying to warn you. That's kind of what I was telling this guy about A&M.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, literally, one of the main reasons that he left Florida State was because of facilities. So,
wow.
saying that Florida State's a better program, it's like, well, clearly not if he came for more money and then for more facilities. Obviously, I mean, they've been more successful as of late, winning the national championship. But just looking at it from a holistic perspective, it's hard to say that Florida State's that much better program, if at all.
That's what I was thinking too. I was like, y'all are at least on the same level in my page.
But, yeah, I mean it's,
I don't understand
other than, that. Other than like the obvious, like Alabama, Ohio State,
Texas.
Yeah, Texas. Like, it's hard to actually put anybody comfortably over Texas A&M.
I would still put Florida over Florida State when it comes to like a blue chip program. Yeah, I just didn't understand this cockiness that was coming out of Florida State. I get that you're like butthurt and you want to talk shit, but they were like genuinely just like laughing at A&M for even thinking that they were on the same level as them. So I was happy that Jimbo eventually went, and because I still hate A&M, I was happy that they are paying him a guaranteed $75 million.
That's insane.
That's hilarious.
And they're still paying someone, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, they're definitely still paying someone.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Jonathan Smith goes to Oregon State. Nothing there, kind of like UTEP, just a very bland, I mean, well, he was the OC and quarterback coach for Washington, which he's done well. Yeah, clearly he's done well. I don't know if he's necessarily good. I mean, he's 38, so he's young. But it's Oregon State.
I think it's his alma mater, right? I think he played at Oregon State a while ago.
Yeah, he did. 98 to 2001. So, pretty good for them. I mean, it's Oregon State. What are you going to do? Joe Moorhead, though, Mississippi State, good hire.
I think so. Yeah, it's kind of a unique hire. Like, it wasn't one of the names that was constantly being mentioned for job searches, but he's obviously been very successful at Penn State.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing. His name was never really thrown out there, but then they hired him, and everybody was like, "Oh shit, that was like a sneaky good hire." Like, good for Mississippi State. They kind of came out of nowhere and didn't go for one of the big names. They just got somebody they knew they could get that's been doing well.
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely see it work just because it's kind of fallen in the same mold as Dan Mullen. Although Dan Mullen already had experience in the SEC, this guy's coming from the North. He's never had experience in the South. So I think it's going to take him a while to get used to the recruiting.
Right. The recruiting's the only other thing, I mean, I wasn't totally sure about.
That's a huge deal in the SEC. Like, if you can't recruit, then you're just going to get left behind.
He has literally no experience or anything in the South. If you look at his resume, you know, Pittsburgh, Georgetown, Akron, UConn, Penn State, you know.
Fordham.
It's just he doesn't really have any Southern experience at all, which is, like you said, a big deal in the SEC. But it's Mississippi State, you know. They're not going to get the best guy. And I think they got a really, really good coach that they were able to actually get.
Yeah, and whether the talent that he was coaching was leading him, or if he was putting him in the right place, because obviously Saquon Barkley is going to be, you know, top five pick. Trace McSorley is an elite college quarterback. So
they've been good for a while. So I'm going to go ahead and say that he had a lot to do with it. He's played
I think he's been there as long as they have. If I'm not.
Oh incorrect. Yeah, you're right. 2016. Yeah, maybe you're right. But like I said, I think they were a top four team this year, so I'm going to go ahead and give him the benefit of the doubt and say that he's going to do really good things at Mississippi State.
Definitely, yeah.
Dan Mullen to Florida, I think, is the best hire out of all these.
Yeah, it's maybe Scott Frost, but...
Right, that's what I was saying, those two.
Just because I could see... Yeah, and then... But Dan Mullen, I mean, what he's done at Mississippi State, proven that he can develop a quarterback in pretty much any system, well, in his system, but in any... you know, situation. He's literally a quarterback guru in college, and that's what Florida has missed since he's left.
Yeah, because Florida pretty much was only – they had, like, the three best options on their short list. They had Chip Kelly, Scott Frost, and Dan Mullen. So they could have really went anyway and not done it – like, been right. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. I think they – yeah, even Dan Mullen. I think all three of those coaches would have been great at Florida. But Dan Mullen, I think, is just going to do so well, especially, like, yeah. you said, then, with his SEC experience. And he's then, already – I've already seen him – with pictures and videos of him with the recruits in Florida playing basketball with them and stuff.
I was about to say, yeah. And recruiting, I think he gets kind of a bad rap because he's kind of an awkward-looking guy, but he's actually been a very good recruiter, you know, taking Mississippi State from being consistently last in the SEC to towards the middle of the pack. And even this year, they're towards the top of the recruiting boards. And then Florida, it's always going to be an attractive place to recruit to, so it's not going to be hard.
Right. Him. And I think just because it was in Mississippi State, we didn't hear as much from the recruiting trail. But now that he's been in Florida for like a week, and I'm already seeing it all over Twitter, him playing basketball with recruits, and you know he was doing all the same stuff in Mississippi State, but now that it's Florida, you know, it's out in the public eye, and everyone's like, oh shit, he's like a really good recruiter.
Yeah, yeah, they're probably going to have a top five class. I would not be surprised.
Yeah, they're going to do
maybe,
if, big
maybe
things.
Not this season, but next season, definitely.
They're going to do big things, and it's a good time for them to do it while Tennessee's just scrambling, and Georgia has become a powerhouse again. I mean, Florida's made the right move. So I think yeah, good for them.
Too.
Matt Luke, one of the most boring hires. Can I say that?
It's a very safe hire.
Dude, that why is
they,
Ole Miss
they
doing
needed
this?
To? It seemed like an early hire considering the sanctions were released like literally days after he was announced
right.
as head coach.
But that's he would take it. He didn't care.
That's what I'm saying. They could have waited until the sanctions came out. Like I don't know why they just went ahead and pulled the trigger that quick. The reports were that Dave Dorn was the NC State coach, obviously,
right.
was the other possibility. So when hearing that, I'm actually kind of glad they went with Matt Luke.
Yeah, you know what's weird is I'm actually not against this Matt Luke move because of how crazy the carousel has been this year and all these good coaches are getting picked up and going places. Ole Miss was not not high on the list for some of these best coaches because there's so many other great schools that need coaches right now and the sanctions coming down. So why not stick it out with Matt Luke, who's coaching decently well, you know, he's winning games with them.
No, and, yeah, he exceeded expectations this
right.
year, no doubt.
So why not just keep going with him? It's kind of like the Ed O thing at LSU. Just keep going with him. And when he does fuck up, you know, hopefully it won't be as crazy of a season for coaching carousel and you can pick up somebody else.
Yeah, and you never want to make a decision based on one season. Like, I know a lot of people are like, well, this is a safe hire because people won't transfer now. You don't want to make a decision strictly on that.
Right.
But it definitely does help because as soon as he was announced that they were hiring him, the players loved it. They were all in.
Well,
and then recruits around the state, now that Dan Mullen's gone, there's like this steady hand in Ole Miss right now that all these in-state recruits are like, whoa, you know, Matt Luke's still here. So.
Yeah, especially with Mississippi State getting a northern guy who they don't know.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that's a really good point. Also, I saw a photo of Harbaugh in the Michigan shit in Oxford.
Yeah, yeah, he was just in town. He might actually – no, he probably headed out today.
That was like
he was
yesterday,
here.
I think, yeah.
He was not here. He was in Oxford on Tuesday spending time with some of the players. I think it was five players that are going to transfer, and they're probably all go to Michigan. It was players that were going to transfer regardless. So it's just kind of – I'm actually kind of glad to see them leave the SEC.
That's a good point. Rather than go to like LSU or Alabama or something, just get them the hell out of your territory completely so you don't have to mess with
yeah.
them. Yeah.
It sounds like there's going to be five or six players transfer from Ole Miss. Those players are probably going to transfer regardless. If they can keep it to six or less, that's a huge win. Considering the sanctions, anything around 10 would be where you'd start to get a little worried.
This is starting to look like a Penn State situation. You know, obviously y'all don't have sanctions or you didn't do anything near what Penn State did, but Penn State bounced back, you know, didn't take them too long to bounce back. And I think right now it's looking similar to that. I think Ole Miss is doing all the right things. They're keeping their interim. They turned him interim to head coach, just kind of play it out. You know, take things a little slow right now with Matt Luke and just see how things go.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Penn State is definitely like the playbook. That's who you want to follow just from the way that they turned that situation around. And they were able to keep – I think they only had four people transfer that season. And you know, the stories are that literally coaches were standing in the parking lot talking to each other, waiting for the players to come outside to recruit them. So it's a pretty scary thing once stuff like this happens, because your players are just all subject to getting to recruited other schools.
Yeah, you got to keep the talk down of them. You got to be like, look, if you want to leave, that's up to you, but you really need to try to keep their morale, like, focused on your program.
It's got to be tough. I mean,
it's got to be insane. Yeah.
Actually, I didn't think about the best hire. I think it's still coming up.
Yeah, I know. I was going to mention that, but...
Chad Lunsford.
That's the one. That's the one. Georgia Southern, you know, was he even hired? Was he coaching there in previous?
I'm not sure. I know he's
He was their tight end coach, their wide receiver. He was a bunch of random shit, and then he became interim, and now he's just their coach. Good for them.
Yeah, good for him.
Good for them too. He'll probably actually do pretty well for them.
We'll see. Went 2-3, right?
2-4, but I mean, you couldn't do much worse with that program anyway, so you might as well just like give it over to him rather than try to pay somebody a bunch of money and bring in somebody new.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe so. Top three, maybe the best, at least in the top three for best hires this carousel was Chip Kelly, UCLA. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's awesome to get him back in the pack, because that's obviously where he's had all the success. I know, right. he was moderately successful in the NFL. He had that, I think he had a 10-win season, just to show how effective of an offensive
with
coach
the Eagles.
He is. Yeah.
Oh damn.
But I'm pretty sure he had a 9 or 10-win season with the Eagles, and that was before he had Carson Wentz.
Oh damn.
But he's going to be awesome. He's going to get the recruits to UCLA. You know, this is a program that's got potential to do great things just based on its location and resources.
Yeah, and I mean, Oregon doesn't even have a coach now, and they're like, oh shit, Chip Kelly's coming back in to the pack. That's got to be a little, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
UCLA definitely is a sleeping giant, because the pack is just kind of shaky right now. Nobody's really stepping up to claim it as a powerhouse program. UCLA, you can recruit in LA. I mean, it's kind of there for the taking for whoever wants it. And Chip Kelly with UCLA right now is looking like they could.
That's what I'm saying. You have great location, you know, good, not great facilities, but you're playing in a great stadium. You're playing in LA?
Right.
It's not going to be hard to recruit talent to LA. And then now that you have this proven coach, I looked up his record. He had 2 10-win seasons in the NFL.
Yeah, recruits are going to love to go to him. So, yeah. You know, they're a big program. They're in the pack. You're getting that West Coast talent. Like, yeah, they're a sleeping giant. They could really do damage in the pack. Tennessee, still no coach.
I don't even know what to say about that.
Yeah, Oregon, no coach. SMU, no coach. South Alabama, they fired their coach. Kent State, no coach. So yeah, that's it's a little bit open right now.
Mark Hudspeth.
Oh, that's right. Yep, Louisiana Lafayette. There you go. Okay, so let's get into conference allegiance. So the season's over, and we added up the records from all of our teams. Do you want to go first of each team and what their record was, and then say your total overall record?
Yep. NC State, 8-4. Tulsa, 2-10. That definitely brought my average down. Oklahoma State, though, 9-3. Actually, I'm just gonna rank them on how I think.
Okay.
So I think Penn State was probably my best team, 10-2, and then Oklahoma State at 9-3. NC State at 8-4. Let's see, probably Arizona State, 7-5. Central Michigan, 8-4. Ole Miss, 6-6. Old Dominion, 5-7. Now we're getting pretty low. Tulsa, 2-10. Georgia State, 6-5.
Okay.
So total. Oh, and then New Mexico, 3-9. So I think total, I had 63 or 64 games.
Wins. How many losses? Do you not add that up?
No.
Okay. Overall, I'd say my teams were really good. But I also had UTEP, so that kind of brought it down. Washington, 10-2. Auburn, 10-3. App State, 8-4. Let's see, who's next? Houston, 7-4, because they, you know, only played 11 games. Iowa State, 7-5. Oh, NIU, 8-4 also. That was pretty good. Wake Forest, 7-5. Purdue, 6-6. Utah State, 6-6. And then UTEP, 0-12.
It's rough.
Yeah. So you, I have no idea how you beat me, but you beat me. I was 59-51. I'm pretty sure it was just because of UTEP. Or was I like 5 games behind you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I could have had like any other team there and I would have beat you. But I didn't. I had UTEP. So that is our conference allegiance. It is over. Okay, so that was our episode. We are definitely coming back next week for an episode. I don't care what Jay says. We're going to do it.
Yeah, no, I'll be here.
Yeah, that's what you always say. So we're going to do an episode next week, and we're going to go over bowl games. We're going to predict them. So that was it. We'll see you next week.
Peace.
Later.
We got to definitely write a song about how we do not diddle kids. Kids, it's no good diddling kids.
I'm a full-on rapist.
I'm sorry. Did you say you're a full-on rapist?
I wouldn't do it with anybody younger than my daughter. I'm a little kid. Gotta be big. Hold them away.
Africans, dyslexics, children, that sort of thing.
No quicker way for people to think that you are diddling kids than by writing a song about it.